Gertson. I'm a local musician to the Triad area. I'm from Surry County, North Carolina. So if you've ever heard of Mayberry, that's sort of the area that I'm from, right outside of that area, kind of close to the Virginia line. I just moved back from Germany about a year ago and got to sort of take on this dream of becoming a full-time musician, and I love what I'm doing. I love to write my own music, love to sing songs, love to go perform. So yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So you've been back for how long?
About a year. So the end of May was the 1 year anniversary of me being a local musician full time.
Okay,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Germany, how long were you there, and what did you get up to in Germany?
Yeah, so I was there for about 2 years. When I was there, so before I became a musician, I was a teacher, and when I got to Germany, you know, it was kind of difficult, like sort of wading those waters and figuring things out. But eventually I substituted for a little while in the schools that were there on post. And then I also gave some like very beginner guitar lessons. So, you know, just kind of chords and things, something that was music for the community since it was a very small base. And then, you know, I had a small little band there that I got to play and practice with, and that was awesome. And we actually recorded a song together.
Awesome.
We recorded three together, but one of them was one of my songs that I will be releasing here in like a couple of, well, maybe a month or so.
And so were they Americans, expats?
So two of them were American, and then one of them was German. So yeah, it was
awesome.
A really cool little modge podge of people.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really fun. I love telling people how I visited Paris while I was visiting my parents in Germany, and was like, oh, these are very different places.
Yeah.
Both in just the obvious, but also in their reception of American people who do not speak their language.
It's so different. It's so different wherever, it was really interesting to see all the different cultures, because while we were there, we were very blessed and lucky that we got to travel a lot. And so we saw 22 countries while we were there. We tried to like take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah.
We're pretty young, you know, and we knew that we may not ever get to do that again in a young body, if that makes sense. And so we tried to do as much as we could with what we had and the opportunity that was afforded to us.
That's awesome. Yeah. It was nice that a lot of the Germans spoke English.
Yes.
That was really kind of them.
Yeah, we lived in a really tiny, like, farm town.
Okay.
And so I would get like really nervous because some of them didn't know English, and that in the small areas that we lived in. And that was like nerve-wracking, because you know, you would ask in German, do you speak English?
Right.
They would be like, nein. And you're like, oh, I don't know how to ask for what I need.
Right.
You know, you were talking about your mom earlier.
Yeah.
The way that German like came easier was going to the grocery store for me, because you know, you started learning what everything meant and the translations and all that kind of stuff. So it got easier. It was just it was a nervous experience at first.
For sure. I mean, I think the last time that I was in France, I went to the grocery store and used like the Google Translator app to like, where you can just like hover over a package and it just like translates it right there. And I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Technology, you know, like I just think about people who are traveling like, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and how much easier it is for us to feel like it's more manageable now.
Right. I agree 100%.
Yeah, but I think we went to Strasbourg once and super, super beautiful. I think it's like, you know, there's a lot of German and French.
Yeah.
And I remember we booked an Airbnb, and the host was like, oh, so do you speak French? I'm like, no. Do you speak German? I'm like, no. She's like, wait, you came here. You speak neither language. I was like, that's right. And she was like, okay, in parentheses, you're an arrogant American. I'm like, you know what? I get it. Now that you're saying it like that, I hear it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, let's travel.
Yeah.
But in Germany, my favorite, like, I guess little moment was being on one of the train platforms, And this German guy came up to us and started speaking to us in German. And I just thought that was so nice. You know, yeah. He was like giving us the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
we were
he's
so
trying.
Obviously American. And we were like, oh, no, sprechen Sie Deutsch. And yeah. He was like, well, do you need some help? You look confused.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God, yes,
thank
we are so,
so
lost.
Yeah.
And he was giving us, you know, directions. And I was just like, wow, you guys are so friendly. So
yeah. It was, you know, we used to talk about that quite a bit. Like, man, it kind of is silly that Americans don't really learn anything else, like any other language. Obviously, we have it in school, but it's not like it's necessary.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that we talked about with Europe is English is the universal language over there. Because if you're German, how is it possible to know, you know, everything that borders
you? Exactly.
French and even going over to like Czech and stuff like
Poland,
that. There's no way
exactly.
You could know all of those languages. So English is the universal language for them. And here, we don't really have anything that surrounds us.
Yeah.
Like Spanish would be the most necessary one. And so, you know, I would get irritated sometimes when I would feel like I should know these languages, but also like, is it really possible
for
me to know like all of these languages?
Exactly. Yeah. My husband and I spent some time in Panama for about 6 months. And when we were down there, we met a lot of French and German travelers, and they all spoke English.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, we're all supposed to be like improving our Spanish, but we all speak English. And so it's such a unifying language, which is fantastic, but does kind of make it so that we don't exactly have to learn other things.
It does, for sure.
Well, that's so cool. It's great for you to have gotten that experience. Was that your first time abroad? Or
no,
your first time living abroad?
I had done a short study abroad when I was in college. We had went to Norway and Sweden, and then prior to that I had went to the Dominican twice, I believe. And so it wasn't my first time abroad. It was my first time living abroad, which honestly is so different.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
It's a whole new experience, you know, trying to figure out grocery stores and things of that nature, you know. Like, I mean, even something as simple as there were a couple of grocery stores where they didn't have like meat prepackaged, so you had to ask for it at the counter
or the meat counter.
And that's, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole different like subset of vocab, like parts of the chicken and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And then trying to figure out how to say like, I need two chicken breasts, you know, versus like, I need chicken breast or whatever, because it's like a whole different
thing.
Yeah,
that's really funny. Where did you go to school, and what did you study?
Yeah, so I went to NC State, and I studied agricultural education, actually, so that's like super not what I'm doing now. Basically, the reason I got into it was I had ridden horses for a long time, and really loved animals and things of that nature. And I thought at first that I wanted to become a vet, but that just, I don't know, I just didn't, once I got into school, I didn't feel like a strong pull to it, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And so I was like, I just don't think it's for me, and just kind of kept on taking my classes. And, you know, I was taking animal science classes and things of that nature, and realized that like I really liked all parts of agriculture, so not just the animal science, but the crop science and the horticulture and you know, all of those things that accompany or encompass agriculture as a whole. And so I was kind of bordering like whether to go into ag education, where I would teach those things, or there was another major called agri-science and or agricultural science, and that was, you basically had a broad knowledge of everything. And so I decided to do teaching just because I had a lot of teachers who were very influential to me and very special to me. And I felt like it was an important job, if you will, and thought that it would be good for me. And I did love it. I have, you know, one student that comes to my mind that is working kind of in the area that I taught, and I've seen him a couple of times, and he's like made remarks about how much like I influenced him to like continue along this like ag pathway, and you know, he has dreams of going to school like and working in agriculture and all this stuff, and I just think that's, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, what a neat thing it is.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And how long have you played the guitar and singing?
I started playing, I think, when I was around 8. So I got started sort of with my grandpa, like, you know, that kind of scene. My grandpa on the floorboard of the den, and opening up a red hymnal and figuring out songs and gospel songs and stuff like that to do. And that's where I started. And then just sort of had a couple of lessons about how to correctly play, that kind of thing, from a gentleman, and then after that sort of taught myself everything else. And then, you know, just played and played and played, and then it wasn't until I think 2 years ago that I started taking, you know, actual lessons to sort of learn like theory behind the guitar,
yeah.
Learn like just create my, like, become a better musician,
sure.
If you will.
Yeah,
just understand what I'm playing,
right, right.
A little bit more. It's kind of nice. I don't remember everything, but.
Do you read music?
So when I was in school, like middle school, high school, I was in band and choir. I played oboe, funnily enough. So I know how to read music in that sense,
but
not with guitar.
How long has it been since you played oboe?
Oh my gosh, it's been a really long time.
I'm just curious.
I think that the last time I played was like my sophomore year of high school, and I don't know how long that's been.
I'm in the Triad Area Medical Orchestra.
Oh, really?
Not because I'm medically affiliated. I just play the viola.
Yeah.
But we are constantly in need of, you know, making of a stable of oboes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
That would be so cool. Maybe I need to take it back
up.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's been a long time, but it has been something that I have been thinking about.
Yeah.
Like, what if I did something else? Like,
yeah.
tried something else for a little while.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, if you do, let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool to have dabbled in both kind
both
of
worlds.
Like arenas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What do you have for us?
I have mostly original stuff today, unless you're like, hey, try a cover or something like that. I love to do my original stuff, especially with things of this nature, just because it's a great place to sort of start letting these song babies live, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, this first one I wrote last week. It's been a week, so it's about a week old. I was hanging out, me and some of my very close friends that are also local musicians. We had a show together and we got done, and they were like, what are you going to do tonight? And I said, I don't think I'm going to do a damn thing. And they looked at me and they kind of laughed. They were like, yeah. And I said something along the lines of, I love not doing a damn thing. And they were like, that's awesome, you should write that song. And so on the way home, I like came up with the lyrics, sort of like come up with these verses and stuff, and then I got home and I put the chords to them. So it's kind of in its new stages, but I do like it, and I've done it at a couple of shows so far, and it seems to get some pretty good reception from folks. So I hope that it sounds good. See how many times we have to do it. It's morning voice. I've got morning Saturday voice. I've already had like 3 gigs this week. So I'm like, it's going to be what it is.
What else do you have going on this weekend?
So this weekend, actually, I was supposed to play local tonight. I was supposed to play in Winston at Foothills, but I had reached out and I was like, I'm so sorry, but I have grandparents who are from New York, and they are down here for my cousin. They live out in Apex, and he just graduated high school, and he's going into the Marines. So a big portion of our family from New York had come down, and I was like, I never get to see my grandparents,
yeah.
And you know, it's really important that I get to see them and stuff, and they were super cool about it. Foothills is
nice.
An awesome place, and so yeah, after we get done here, we're gonna make our way down there to Apex.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
How far is that?
It is half from here, I think, so it's not too far, and we'll spend some time with them, and I never really get to hang out with that, you know, side of my family, and so I'm excited to be with them this afternoon, and then next week, we start moving Sam back down to Georgia, and so he'll be there for a little while, but I think he's excited to kind of get back into a few things, and all that kind of stuff.
It'll be more like, because he'll actually be on an installation as opposed to
Teaching. Mm-hmm. Yep, instead of teaching at Wake. So he'll be, you know, I think excited maybe to get into some stuff. He was in a pretty busy place when he was in Hohenfels because they were training constantly, and so they got to be out in the field and all that kind of stuff.
What is his, like, I guess specialty or
so
discipline?
He is a armor officer. Yeah. So he when he was in Germany, he was the XO over the tank company, and so he got to work pretty closely with his first sergeant and his commander and stuff, and he loved it. He loved, you know, getting to do those things, and
that's awesome.
It's awesome. He loves what he does.
Good. That's really
good. Yeah. So actually, since we're talking about him, I might do this song next.
Okay. So inspired by Sam.
Yeah. So this song is it's called Take Me Home, but everybody knows it, or when they requested it shows, they say Swamp Rose. So the story behind it is I was in this like sort of songwriters group thing via Facebook for about a year and a half, and the beauty of it is you get a prompt every 2 weeks and you have to write a song including the prompt, and if you don't do it and don't record, and you, or like say you don't use the prompt exactly, then you get kicked out of the group. So not in a bad sense, but just like the motivation of the group is that you can stay in and continue writing every 2 weeks. Well, this song was spawned out of that group.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I got kicked out of it back in March because I had written the song, I had recorded it, but I had forgot to upload it by the time listed because I think I had a show that night or something.
Okay.
And they were like, I got home and all I wanted to do was sit down and not think about anything.
Not do a damn thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not do a damn thing. And did not think about it. Had it ready to go and forgot. I woke up like, I think it was 3 days later that I went on there and was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to upload. And I noticed that I couldn't see anything, like nothing. It was awful. But this song, the prompt was Swamp Rose.
Swamp
and
Rose.
I said,
okay.
What in the world is a Swamp Rose?
Yeah. What is that?
So I had to Google it.
Oh, thank you, Google. What did Google say?
Look it up. And it's just this beautiful pink flower.
Oh.
That grows in swamps. And I was like, who chose this thing? You know? And so I kind of took inspiration and said, well, what am I going to do with Swamp Rose? And I was like, you know, it's kind of a beautiful thing, so why not write something sweet, you know?
Did you take any courses or do any kind of formal or informal education for songwriting?
No, I did not. So that was something that actually, it's kind of a beautiful thing. I would love to take courses on songwriting, you know, whether formal or informal, just to continue growing and becoming a better songwriter. But honestly, when I was younger, I had a really good friend, and she was a fantastic songwriter. Fantastic. And I was like, man, all of my songs suck. You know, like I would write stuff and I was like, this song sucks, you know. And I don't know. I think it just came with time and practice that I like figured out how to phrase things,
right.
How to put words together, how to like not just say things out loud. Does that make sense? And it kind of went from there. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Definitely would love to, but haven't got there yet.
Yeah, I really, other than playing the viola, I don't have a lot of music, like you mentioned, music theory or that kind of education.
Yeah.
But, you know, we, of course, as like listeners, I think we all, especially because I happen to just love music so much,
you're
intrinsically kind of picking up on patterns. And so, you know, I hear it and I'm like, wow, I just couldn't imagine like stringing those words together in as beautiful of a way as you have, but also making sure that the phrasing works and it coincides with the music in such a great way. But I do still hear things where I'm like, oh, it feels like this song's missing like maybe one more verse, or or it's like a little bit lopsided or whatever. Yeah. But I just think that your songwriting is very full. It sounds like it's very balanced.
And, yeah, thank you.
I know that there are times where the unexpected is great as far as like deviating from your standard like practices to surprise your listener. But but sometimes you can do that a little too much. And I think that you did a really good job.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah. That's quite a compliment. So I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me, because songwriting is, I would say that even though I love doing covers and stuff, like songwriting is my art, you know, and I don't want to get like emotional or anything, but it's like the thing that has saved me in a lot of like really dark parts of my life, if that makes sense. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's just, it means a lot. Thank you.
That's amazing. And I'm glad to hear you say that. It's, you know, really one of the big things that motivated me to start this project. Yeah. And I think a couple of people have said the exact same thing, where, you know, music has saved me. And I feel that way myself, where just not even just playing in orchestras, you know, since I was 10 or whatever, but also just listening to music and getting lost in music and connecting and seeing, you know, the way that you feel reflected in some random person's lyrics, and you're like, oh, you too, great. And you know, just listening to I befriended people in Panama who were French, really being like, oh my gosh, this French song, I have no idea what they're saying, but whoa, it's a great song. I've got to look up these lyrics so I can see that it's like as meaningful as I think that it is. But you can, but the fact that you can even be moved by stuff where you're like, I don't know what they're saying, I feel like that just constitutes like the power of music.
It's such a, it's just such a universal language. And you know, that was same thing when I was in Germany. It was pretty funny, actually. We would go to the drummer that I played with. He played in a couple other bands, and he said, like, you know, come out to like one of our shows or something, and they're all playing like American music, you know. And it was so like, it's
so funny,
you know. And
my French friend, she asked me, hey, is it weird for you that like all of your music is in English? And I was like, what do you mean? I don't understand. But but then it's like, when you go shopping at the grocery store, any kind of shopping, any kind of event in Germany, especially, but definitely in Panama too, you're gonna hear like American music. You'll hear, you know, there's always like an American like radio station. And that's kind of wild.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting to, you know, go to a show and you know, they're also local artists, and they are singing, you know, like really old country music. Yeah. You know, like, you know, Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash, and you know, they're singing that style of music, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I even wondered, I was like, wait, I wonder if she's sang in German spaces, because that would, you know, I think one might think, oh no, that would never work over there, but no, actually.
Yeah.
They're pretty open to so many different types of like, just American music, that I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, they even have like country bars and stuff.
Really?
Yes, where people like come in and and they wear like cowboy hats and they have on like cinch button up cowboy shirts and, like Wrangler jeans and boots. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, wow.
It's so really funny. Funny because the first time I went to one, I was like, what's happening? You know, like kind of confused. Like, where am I at?
Yeah.
I, like back in North Carolina right. or where am I at? Because the area we lived in Germany, we lived in Bavaria. It looks very similar to this area. Like if you, you know, go to the outskirts of Winston or you go up to like where I'm from in Surrey County or out towards Sparta, those kind of areas, yeah. it looks just like
super
that.
Super rural, yeah.
And so, yeah, we would be in the middle of nowhere, Germany. And the only reason you know that you're in Germany is because everyone's speaking German.
Right. That's so funny.
But, yeah. It was a really cool experience. Music is universal.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
All art is universal, and it's just really amazing, very amazing to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so the next time I'm going to attempt it. I don't know if we're going to get through it just because it's kind of a power song.
Okay.
So I don't know if my voice can handle it today,
okay.
but we're going to see what happens.
Okay.
But this is the one, speaking of Germany, that I ended up recording with some of, with those guys over in Germany. This is called Picture on the Wall. Kind of goes with, what we were talking about, songwriting has pulled me out of some really, really dark places. And this song, sort of same thing, kind of spawned out of conversation. And, I was discussing, you know, I had some things going on when I was in Germany, just feeling like I was separated from everybody that was here, that was doing music, that was, you know, kind of doing the things that I wanted to do, basically. And I was sort of explaining to the gentleman who made this guitar that, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm a picture on the wall. I'm just watching life happen in front of me, and I'm standing still. Nothing's going on. And he was like, maybe you should think about writing that. And so... there she came. She just kind of spilled out. Thank you so much. I have to sort of cut myself off from that song. Sometimes I get a little emotional when I sing it.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I especially the ending, I felt like was very, gripping.
Yeah.
I like the way that you ended
thank you.
It.
Thank
great.
You so much. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So that one I'm hoping to release, soon. I hope in the next month. I have sat on it and sat on it and sat on it, and I can send you the mastered version that we have at the moment.
Okay.
I might end up having it remastered, but I can send it to you and feel free to
what
like
does that
use
mean,
it
remastered
stuff. So we had it mastered when we were in Germany, but I just felt like it didn't have something to it that like I really needed.
But what does that mean? Sorry,
so,
I don't
oh yeah so like mastering basically like mastering well one sort of that go in and Gray is the one the guy same guy who you know gives me all these song ideas and all that kind of stuff and made this guitar he goes in and sort of puts different like vocal chains on it so like different types of reverb or different types of like doubling or different thing he does different things to the voice. But then also kind of goes in and remixes it, so maybe brings up some of the bass or brings down the bass or figures out like, all right, the acoustic guitar needs to come up or there needs to be more punch to the bass drum or something of that sort. But then like mastering itself goes in and sort of fixes compression issues or it like will EQ everything out, but mainly it sort of spreads the song. So like when you listen to something, on the radio, it's been mastered, so it's not tight. Like if you've ever noticed that when you have headphones in, you hear some things in one ear, but you don't hear
yes.
things in the other.
Yes,
that's a result of mastering.
Oh.
Yeah. So sometimes they'll take like the main voice and sort of spread it out in between the two, but maybe you've got like a harmony or a guitar part or something that they'll throw on only one side, or
okay.
they do things to sort of. I guess it's another art, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know everything there is to know
sure.
about mastering. It's definitely not in my wheelhouse. I've just now started kind of, like, playing around with recording
okay.
and all that. But from what I know,
yeah.
that's what it is,
okay.
you know? And you can hear it on your phone, too.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're ever listening to a YouTube video or something of that sort, if you like turn your phone to the side, kind of like you have it, you know, oriented right now, you can hear a lot better how the song's supposed to sound, if that makes sense. Yeah, and so like the one thing I think about is Fleetwood Mac. So their album Rumors, yeah, it was, you know, there's the original version, but then there's the remastered version. And if you go back and listen to it and put it side by side, you can really hear the difference. Okay. So like, you know, everything sounds really clean, yeah, and clear, and okay, it sounds just like spread out more. It sounds super wide. Like, that's something that Gray says all the time. He's like, it's wider than the road, you know, like it's really big. That's and funny. Sort of it's just, you know, a different way to make sound,
yeah,
work for you and okay, make it sound good. But yeah,
makes me think of like surround sound when you're watching your,
yeah,
movie,
yeah, so kind of like that, yeah, basically like cool, that. And you know, sound, that's been the one thing that's been hard with the song, is that I love the song, everything was very cleanly recorded and stuff, but I just become very like, oh my God, it needs to sound a particular way, you know? And I think I know in my head what I want it to sound okay, like, but I don't know how to like vocalize what needs to be fixed, because yeah, I'm not 1,000% sure like what needs, yeah, to be fixed,
see,
you know?
Okay.
And so we've had it done for, I've had this song recorded for probably a year, almost a year and a half maybe.
Okay.
And, I just haven't gotten it the way that I wanted it. And since that song is so special to me, I wanted everything to be very clean. I wanted it to be really sort of gritty almost, if that makes sense.
Yes, that was the word that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I feel like that matches the like overall sentiment.
Yeah,
like the,
yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, so I just wanted all of those things to come through in the song. And one thing that I noticed in the recording was that I needed some of like the little teeny bit of gravel I have. I really wanted it to sort of come out in that song, because typically, you know, with like Take Me Home, my voice is really soft and breathy and things like that. But in that song, especially when we recorded it, I was able to put a little bit more, you know, into it,
yeah,
if
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And so I wanted some of that to kind of shine, and I didn't want it to be perfect, you know, like I wanted it to I wanted it to sound human,
right,
you know, and
yeah,
we're there though, you know what I mean, like this is the last one that Gray sent me is pretty much the one I think that we're gonna go with.
Okay.
But you know, I also wanted other artists to kind of shine in this, and so Michael Hull, he had taken my pictures like a year or two ago, and they were very like almost Renaissance looking, if you will. And then we went in and did another photo shoot where we hung that picture of me up behind me, and then I'm in front of it, and it's kind of got this like ghosty sort of looking vibe, if you will. And so I wanted another person's art to come out in,
okay,
in the album cover even. And so I think that all of that stuff has sort of taken so long to do, because I wanted it all to be very, I don't know, I just wanted to showcase other people too, if mm-hmm, that makes sense, other local artists. And
so this is part of an album?
So it will be eventually, but I'm going to release it as a single,
okay,
at first, yeah. And I saw that you had Justin on here.
Yeah.
So Justin and I are recording some stuff too together.
Ooh, that's awesome.
He's helping me get some things done. We did Take Me Home,
okay,
one of those that I did, and it sounds so pretty.
Okay.
And then we did another one that we've almost got done. So those two are almost done. And then we just started one that I call Margarita Nights.
I like it.
Yeah, so Margarita Nights is one that I wrote for my friends in college.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody, that's what everybody wanted to hear recorded. And so we decided to go ahead and record that. But yeah,
that's great.
I don't know, do we have time for one more? That's totally up to you.
Let me check with her.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know, what do you want to hear, what kind of song?
Well, okay, out of curiosity, what are your go-to covers?
My go-to covers, I really like CCR for some reason. CCR and Stevie Nicks. Let's see. Bonnie Raitt is an enormous, like, a huge influencer of me. What are my favorite covers to do? I do love doing Dreams. Dreams is one of my favorites.
I don't know if you saw the Winston-Salem Symphony. They just did a Fleetwood Mac concert. So they, I forget what the name of the company is called, but basically, I think they travel throughout North America and creating these, like, I feel like to me, it's just like making classical music more accessible to people who are really not that into it.
Yeah.
By merging like pop with it. So they'll have like vocalists who are singing, but then they've created a score that goes with it so that it's like highlights the orchestra. It was really, really great.
That's
so we did
neat.
The Fleetwood Mac thing, and my husband was like, I don't think I know any Fleetwood Mac. I was like, no, listen.
You do know.
You totally do. When you hear it, you'll be like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Either Dreams or like Give Me One Reason by Tracy Chapman are like two of the ones that if I don't know like what to play, that's the two that I play. So
I love Dreams, but I also, have you heard the Bastille cover of it?
No.
Bastille did a cover, and it's really good. It's like really dark.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. You should listen to that. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
I did have one quick question, which was, I listened to your music on Spotify.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious how you view yourself as an artist, as far as your like development with the music, for instance, that you play today, relative to the music that is on Spotify currently.
Yeah. So the stuff that is on Spotify. Okay. So one thing that I have noticed in my development as an artist as a whole is this idea of art becoming my lifeline, right? So when those things that I created that are on Spotify were put on there or were created, you know, not that it wasn't then, but it just feels a lot deeper now. And also, I was decently young. I'm not saying that a 17-year-old can't understand some of the things that you're singing about, but also like life, I feel like. Really,
on the whole. Yeah.
Right, experience changes you. All kinds of things happen, and you know, like there's things that I've written that I wrote when I was not in that place, but then I go back, and when I am in that place, my own song doesn't feel like my song because it, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this song like makes so much sense to me now, you know, kind of like how a lot of people talk about the song Landslide and how they're like, Landslide doesn't make sense when you're younger, you know, or like Landslide, all of a sudden you become, you know, older and you're like, wow, that song makes sense now. And I feel like it's the same with the things that I have written and done, is that one, I've grown as a songwriter. Like, it's a lot easier for me to portray what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to feel, if that makes sense, or you know, give to the audience that's listening. It's also, like, the change of, for a long time, I felt like country was supposed to be the only genre that I did.
Yes.
Mainly because I grew up in a rural area. So when I grew up in a rural area, grew up in the church, you know, grew up country, you know, I mean, like, for a lack of better words,
right.
I grew up in that environment. And so that kind of music was first, and it was foremost in my mind.
Yeah.
And not that I don't do it now, obviously I have like influences of that still that like carry over into my music. But you know, when I was younger, my mom, she was a big blues girl and she loved blues. That's why like I love Bonnie Raitt, I love Muddy Waters, I love B.B. King, I love all of these people who have like put so much into the world. And like, I think that I got to a point where it was less genre oriented and more, you are your own person.
That is so
and
funny.
You don't have to fit into
you,
anything.
Because you've kind of, again, accidentally, Justin and I, we talked about the very, very much so the same thing as far as like the beauty in flattening genres.
Yes.
And appreciating music as music.
Yes.
And being influenced and connecting with music no matter what type it is.
Yep.
And you know, he talked about that as well as far as the way that he makes his music too. And
yeah.
That
was literally what Charlie, right? Yeah, that is literally what Charlie and I were talking about when he asked me, like, what kind of music do you play?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's so
it's
funny.
Like folky, somewhere in there.
You know, and when I showcase you on the website, I was thinking that, hey, should I go back through and make sure I highlight the genre? Because it is nice to have, like, a, you know, general framework for, like, okay, what am I about to hear?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, I don't want to box people in. Just listen.
It's so hard because
like
that is, like, the main thing a lot of the times that, like, venues, especially when you're going to book and stuff like that, they want to know. They want to know what kind of genre do you do, what kind of music do you sing, that kind of stuff. And I'm always like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, like, I do everything from country to pop to blues to, like, rock, you know, like soft rock, things that don't even fit into any of those categories, you know, like I do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And literally with a picture on the wall, that has been a really difficult one to figure out what genre, because when you release it, you have to release it under a genre.
I have wondered that as far as, yeah, if artists struggle with that, do you feel like, you know, like, hey, do I have to conform to one genre for an entire album?
Yeah.
I think that nowadays it's easier to, it seems to, like, step outside of those boundaries even within an album, which is really exciting and great.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's still difficult when you're trying to pull an entire album together in a cohesive manner.
I know. And that's, you know, that was something that Justin and I were even talking about when we were recording stuff. So I have another one called Nowadays, and it's, you know, the way that we've done it, some of the ideas he had with, like, sort of distorting my voice in the beginning and sort of, like, creating this, like, spooky atmosphere with it. I'm like, this is not country at all.
Right.
I was like,
right,
what do we release this as?
Right.
And he's like, I don't know, like, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there. There's,
I feel like,
so many things.
That's where, luckily now we just have alt. We just, like, tack that on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, all right, that covers it. Pop, alt, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's kind of, you know, and it's sort of a shame that it's built up like that.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, like Justin was saying, like, we should just, not to say we should get rid of genres.
Of course.
Because a lot of people really appreciate things that are really rooted and traditional.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's traditional country, obviously, like, I love classic country. I love classic country in the way that it's meant to be.
Yeah.
But I love pop. I love pop in the way that it's meant to be. I love blues in the way that it's meant to be. But also, like, I think it's kind of beautiful when everything finds this intersection,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, everything is great, you know?
Yeah.
Everything from all of these genres, if you will, like, has a place. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the Spotify realm and in the Apple Music realm and all of these things, you have to choose something.
Right.
And it's almost vital that you choose the right thing.
Right.
Because if you don't, like, say you want to be playlisted or something, or like, you want your song to be recommended when there's a different song that's heard, for example, you got to make sure you're choosing the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's difficult.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
And that, it kind of makes me think back, like, as I was coming up, you know, hearing different artists described as, like, sellouts. You know?
Yeah.
And it's very unfair as a musician.
Yeah.
But I think that me personally, I don't know how true this is, but I feel like DJ, like, you know, like the advent of, like, DJs becoming more commonplace and popular.
Yeah.
That's been amazing as far as being able to say, like, hey, we're going to take this melody. We're going to take this. We're going to just,
mash
know, exactly.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of made things, interesting.
Yeah, and like all the technology we have now to be able, like, to go into the studio and, like, I think it's really neat, really, to hear, especially like in the pop world and stuff right now, where you hear something and you're like, that's funny. Yeah. Like, that comes from something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, oh, shoot, that was like...
the Miley Cyrus song that, where it's, I think it's Stevie Nicks.
Oh, where she pulls, like, a sample from the Stevie Nicks song.
And I'm like,
song.
wait a second, what's happening here?
Yeah.
This is, yeah.
And then there's another song. I can't remember if it's, like, Cardi B or, I don't know. I don't remember who it is. But there's somebody who has a rap song out right now, and they pulled from either, like an Aretha Franklin or Etta James or something. Not Etta James. It was either Aretha Franklin or... I can't remember, but they pulled samples from that. And when I first heard it, I was like,
yeah,
why does that sound so familiar?
Right. I love Who Sampled, is it the website? It's like my favorite thing to do, to be like, let's see what songs like went into the creation of this. Yeah. And it just says like, it'll list anything that was sampled. And then it, you know, includes like
that's cool.
All of the audio. So you're like, oh, this is the bass line from this, and this came from this.
That's really neat.
Yeah, it's super fun. I love that.
You know, like, because when you put a song into BMI or something like that, which is like basically to protect your song, saying that, like, you know, when I wrote that other song, I went into BMI and put it in there, and it'll ask you, are there any samples in this song?
Okay.
And so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now I know that there's like a database
that shows people are tracking it.
I'll have to go and check that out.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a fun like kind of way of, again, you get to see all of these cross genre, like, you know, basically like this ultimate collaboration for this one track that will go like, it's why I love listening to all the things, because then you can truly, truly, not that you can't appreciate something without that knowledge, but having all of that knowledge is like, oh wow, this is a much more special song, because now I recognize all the places that kind of came together to help make this. And my question that, you know, started this, my opinion is that your Spotify music was very good, but I thought that the stuff that you played today is very, very strong.
Yeah, thank you so
much. From a songwriting
much.
And like melodic standpoint as well. And just like as far as being something that's like, ooh, kind of like stops you to be like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
Which is what I'm always
looking for. Thank you so much. That's important, because also sort of going back to the original question of from then to now, I've just changed as a person, you know, and it's almost like kind of like what Sturgill Simpson is doing right now.
Right.
He's like recreating himself.
That,
I think that's pretty cool because that is how I feel myself, you know,
of course.
Like I'm not boxed into, I don't feel boxed into country anymore. I feel like I can write to write, you know what I mean? I can write whatever I hear.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. But then, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, you have to start sometimes you just start in the box.
Right.
So that you can step out of the box.
Yeah,
because if it's not there, you don't really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But yeah, so hopefully all of this stuff will be released in the future and kind of take that next step. So as soon as Picture on the Wall is released, then I'm hoping to release singles like every 5 to 6 weeks, just to kind of get more stuff out there, stuff that's new and fresh and something different.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get rid of the old stuff, but of course, this is a new era, if you will.
Exactly.
A new era, yes. Yeah.